questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn!
Woohoo! Alright! Let's talk gestational diabetes! Woohoo! Hello, Jasmine, how are you?
Good, thank you, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Jasmine Plowse is our guest in the studio. Jasmine, tell us about your position here at the university.
I am a final year PhD student. What I mean by that is I've just finished my third year and I have like 6 months left to submit my thesis.
And just go and get a massive job, make some money, woo!
Not quite. Well, if you want to be a scientist, you don't really make much money, but it's an exciting job, so, you know.
And you're here to talk today about gestational diabetes, which is a heavy subject.
Yeah, well, that's the focus of my thesis. So I'm not sure what you know about gestational diabetes, but basically what it means is a high blood sugar that a woman only develops during pregnancy.
So diabetes itself is the best way to describe it is it's a blood sugar imbalance.
High blood sugar, yes, that's right.
High blood sugar. So gestational diabetes is only turns up when someone gets pregnant.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes the woman has it before pregnancy but doesn't know. So we actually classify it as either it develops during pregnancy or you first realize you have it during pregnancy. And what we mean is high blood sugar during pregnancy, yeah.
And so when you say that you've got it beforehand, how would you know that?
Well, unless you've had
a sneaky little thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, in New Zealand, all women get tested for gestational diabetes, which is not what happens everywhere in the world. And so what can happen is that that's the first time you've ever actually been tested is during pregnancy.
Yeah, so you've got no idea about, until then you've got no idea about your blood sugar. Sugar's been fine as far as you know.
Yeah.
This has happened to some people that are very close to me as well, and it's a big deal. You have to change what you're doing as far as your diet and you've really got to manage it quite well, don't you?
Yeah, at the moment we only really have strategies to manage it, but what I'm looking at in my PhD is potential treatments.
Yeah.
I mean, to prevent it from happening in the first place, because the reason we really care about this is because it actually affects two people. It affects the mother, who is at an increased risk, about a 70% increased risk of going on to develop type 2 diabetes later in life, right? And the child is really something that I'm really interested in, because I don't know how many people know this, but the environment that you experience in the womb is one of the most important determinants of your lifelong health when it comes to obesity and type 2 diabetes. So basically, you can imagine if a woman has high blood sugar, that sugar goes straight through the placenta to the baby.
Sure.
And then the baby is basically born having eaten sugar for 9 months. And those babies are much, much increased risk of obesity.
So that's without being managed.
This is without being managed.
So just to go back a wee bit, if you have gestational diabetes whilst you're pregnant, what are the symptoms like? What can happen to the mother, like apart from passing it on to the child? Does it mean that they get tired, they lose weight, they gain weight,
Yeah, they're you're at risk of other pregnancy complications as well, as like one of the big things that we worry about. So high.
You want to be as ship shape as possible, don't you? And it makes you less ship shape. Definitely.
Yes, it does. At the moment we're looking at, you know, managing it with diet and exercise, but actually a lot of women that have this don't, like I said, it just comes on during pregnancy.
Yeah. If they don't manage it, what can they expect to be happening to them?
Well, it's more the risk of these other pregnancy complications like high blood pressure. The baby is usually born large. It usually has to have a C-section in lots of cases. And the mother is at that increased risk of other terms of diabetes for the rest of their life.
Wow.
But the thing I don't want people to go away thinking that, you know, it's all the mother's fault, because a lot of what happens is actually to do with the pancreas. So your pancreas is the organ inside your
bloody pancreas!
It controls your blood sugar, and a lot of women, it's just that their pancreas is compromised in some way that they had no control over, which means that they can't really handle as well the stress of pregnancy in terms of blood sugar. That's where it comes from.
So this is where it comes on during pregnancy, and you may have not had
any problems before.
Right.
Yeah.
And is it the sort of like... The, someone I know had it with their first child but didn't have it with the second child. Is that unusual?
You're at an increased – that can happen, and that's it's good when that happens, but a lot of women get it in their second pregnancy because they had it in their first pregnancy. So they're at greater risk with each pregnancy.
Right, so is it? Do you get it – if you don't have it in your first, can you get it in your second?
Yeah, that's possible as well, yeah.
Dramatic. And so how many people are we talking in New Zealand suffer from?
10% of the population.
Wow.
I'm sorry, well, of pregnant women.
Wow,
but,
that's
you know,
a lot.
In some ethnicities, it's as much as 20%. In Indian and Chinese populations, there are 20%.
Wow.
And that's usually, well, we actually don't know what the reason is, but some people believe it's to do with the pancreas.
I mean, completely generalizing when I say that those aren't. I wouldn't imagine not the most sugar-filled.
Yeah, that's why it's interesting.
Sort of, you know.
Yeah, we're talking about
parts of the population, you know.
Yeah, parts of the world where it's so. That's another thing.
Like the person that they named the Sally Lunn after wouldn't have been Indian or Asian.
Well,
would they?
That, no, that's the thing is that people have this idea. They have a simplistic idea in the head of that you only get diabetes if it's your fault if you get diabetes.
Right.
And we don't want people to have that, especially not with pregnant women. Pregnant women have so much stress already. To do with being pregnant.
Superheroes, you know? Is what I found out when I had my bubba. That, like, girls are superheroes. It's like, that blew my mind. You know, it's like I say, there's a lot of other things to have to deal with. How do you, what's the sort of the best way to, if you're becoming pregnant, you want to become pregnant, or you just become pregnant, I mean, how do you sort of, say the test is done for every pregnant woman. What do you do once you find out?
Well, at the moment,
that's not really your.
Well,
main,
that's the thing is, one, I want to say I'm not a medical doctor, so
nor,
I can't.
I want to be quite clear about that. I'm not a medical doctor.
So I'm not giving medical advice, but what I can say is that at the moment, it's really about eating foods that aren't going to increase your blood sugar too much, and so it's. And things like that. And for some women, it is exercising. Although we actually don't have guidelines around exercise in pregnancy, we actually don't really know how safe it is to intensively exercise during pregnancy because there just aren't that many studies done on pregnant women. It's a difficult time of life to study in humans, which is why we don't have that much research
and
about it.
Theoretically, if you are then creating in the population a lot of children who are more prone to type 2 diabetes, aren't they then more likely to have children prone to type 2 diabetes?
Yes, you've got the message perfectly. That's what I'm passionate about.
That's what you're trying to break the chain.
It's that those children are at increased risk of having gestational diabetes if they're female. And so this is a ongoing cycle. And in order to break the cycle...
So it's not carried through, like... It's not a male thing? Like, you can't...
No, the male children...
A little boy's not going to pass it on to, you know, in the future?
Yes, he could. We're only just figuring out how paternal factors can be involved in non-genetic transmission of disease. So we're not worrying about genetics so much. We're worrying about what's connecting with the genetics, which we call epigenetics, which is how the environment interacts with your genetic code. So it's much more complicated than we thought. We thought in 2000 the Human Genome Project was completed, and we thought we're going to find the gene for obesity and we're going to turn it off. But that's not how it works at all. In fact,
we'll just have a massive big 2-litre bottle of something just to celebrate.
Well, in fact, it seems like the environment in the womb might be the answer for this obesity epidemic we're experiencing.
Jasmine, thank you for coming in. Before you go, is this a sort of thing, do you need to talk to people who have, do you need volunteers with gestational diabetes to come and talk to you?
Oh, well, I actually don't work with people, so I'm all lab-based with working with samples. And so not with me, but definitely the Liggins Institute, look us up. We care all about how the environment in the womb when a woman is pregnant affects the lifelong health of our entire population. Look us up, Liggins Institute, and you can definitely volunteer for some studies. That would be great.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Jasmine. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Steady Learn! Thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.